Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Money FM 89.3. This is Health Suites. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. On the phone, I am joined by Dr. Erin Poe, Medical Director and General Surgeon, specialising in colorectal surgery at Alpine Surgical Practice. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Yep, thank you very much, Clarissa, for your introduction.
Now, following the death of Chadwick Boseman, who passed away at the age of 43 after a long multi-year battle with colon cancer, reports have shown a rise in colorectal rates among young adults. That is a global report. Do we see this same trend here in Singapore as well?
Well, I am aware of some of the global reports reporting increasing incidence in the young. Mm-hmm. However, in Singapore, our data stretching over from 1968 to about 2017 shows that the incidence of colorectal cancer among the young has remained stable. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason why we are seeing more nowadays is that obviously we are more educated, and as a result of that, we are more conscious on the health, and which is why in turn there's increased awareness among the young, and of course naturally around the general population as a whole.
All right. So you're saying there's no indication in terms of research numbers for Singapore, but maybe because people are coming to their doctors earlier for treatment and being diagnosed with it earlier, that it seems to be like more people are getting it?
Yes, that appears to be the case, or rather in particular among the young. Though nonetheless, the incidence of colorectal cancer among the population as a whole has definitely increased from the time the data was first available in 1968 all the way to about 2017.
Okay. Now, let's take a step back, I suppose, because a lot of us don't actually understand what colorectal cancer is and whether there's any difference between colon cancer, or are they all the same things. Maybe you want to make that clarification for us.
All right. I think the term colorectal cancer is used to refer to cancer in both the colon and rectum. Mm-hmm. These are all part of the lower gastrointestinal tract.
Right.
And I think to the general population as a whole and the general public, there really isn't a need to split a difference between colon cancer and rectal cancer. And so that generally we often use the term colon cancer or colorectal cancer very interchangeably.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, kind of the same thing. But colorectal cancer includes basically more real estate.
Yes, that's right. So colorectal cancer refers to cancer in both the colon and rectum.
Okay.
While technically, to be very accurate, colon cancer is just referring to the colon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to tell us how colorectal cancer develops?
Okay. Colorectal cancer usually develops over time, and we are usually looking at a period of about somewhere between about 8 to 10 years, sometimes up to 15 years. And colorectal cancer develops, or rather starts off with what we call a polyp. It's easy to imagine a polyp as like a pimple, pimple-like thing on the lining of mm-hmm. the colon. Mm-hmm. And what happens over time is that the polyps acquires more and more abnormalities in a genetic material. Often the damage can be caused by environmental causes, like perhaps something in the diet, or perhaps in cases of smokers. And over time, as the polyp acquires more and more damage to it, that's eventually when it's able to escape totally, and then it becomes what we call a cancer.
Okay. Is it gender-based, or is it, you know, women and men can also have colorectal cancer?
So both women and men can both have colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in Singapore, the Chinese male particularly has the distinction of being one of the highest incidence of colorectal cancer among, say, like Japan and Taiwan, Hong Kong and China. And among all the races in Singapore, and it's also still the Chinese who has a much higher incidence of colorectal cancer as compared to our Malay and our Indian, the rest of the population.
So would that be more a genetic link, or would that be a dietary thing?
So I think at this point in time, we're not particularly sure which of the two has contributed, and for that matter, which one has contributed more. I think it's reasonable to accept that it's going to be a combination, certainly, of both genetic factors and dietary factors.
Mm. Okay, and I suppose the big question for a lot of us, especially since we're not children, as you get older, is there a higher occurrence of it?
Yes, the incidence of colorectal cancer certainly rises with increasing age. And if you are somewhere about 59 to 60 years of age, I think we are looking at an incidence of about 75 new cases per 100,000 population in a year.
What about survivability? Is this a definite death sentence, or can you fight it? Can you survive it?
Well, I think that's a nice question, because that's usually what I tell my patients in the end when I diagnose them with colorectal cancer.
Right.
And usually what I say is that among all the cancers that you can get, I think colorectal cancer is certainly one of the ones that are more treatable.
Mm-hmm.
And we are certainly seeing a drop in the overall mortality rate.
Right.
And of course, correspondingly, we are seeing an increased survival rate as the years progress. And I think it's a combination of earlier detection, and that's partly because the population is more aware mm-hmm. of the need for screening. And of course, in addition to that, we have advances in how we do our surgery. We have also advances in the use of the chemotherapy drugs and which patients to benefit from what kind of chemotherapy drugs.
All right. We are speaking with Dr. Aaron Poe, Medical Director and General Surgeon specializing in colorectal surgery at Alpine Surgical Practice. Talk to us about the signs and the symptoms of someone who thinks they might have colorectal cancer should be looking out for.
Well, I guess first and foremost, just like a lot of cancers, you don't get much symptoms in the early stages. And if you do, some of the bleeding from the bottom, especially when you pass motion, is one of the most common symptoms of colorectal cancer. And the other one that is also fairly common is when people notice a change in their usual bowel movement habits. For example, you could be a person who passes motion perhaps once every 2 days, and eventually you end up going to the toilet 3 times a day. And in particular, if that's the case, that a lot of what you pass out tends to be very loose stools rather than well-formed stools. I think these are the two most common symptoms that tend to bring people to eventually see a doctor. Some other symptoms that might occur include things like unexplained tummy pain, particularly if it occurs in the same locations almost on a daily basis, and is even more worrying if it tends to increase intensity. And of course, other than that, a significant loss of weight or a generalized loss of appetite are also some symptoms of more late-stage cancers.
How about fatigue, which is quite common in other cancers?
That ties in with the overall symptomology of cancer, where you have a person who tends to be losing weight, dropping his appetite.
Mm-hmm.
He finds he gets tired more easily, and overall he notices that he's just so-called generally not as well.
Mm.
But for cancer to achieve that kind of symptoms, this usually does tend to point to a more advanced stage.
Right, all right. And that's what we want to avoid. We want to get diagnosis early so we can deal with it earlier and bring up that survivability rate.
Yes, that is correct.
All right, now, is there a screening for it? Do we do regular screenings for it, like some of the other major cancers in Singapore?
Yes. So I think colorectal cancer, and somewhat similar to breast cancer, is one of the few cancers that have very established, or rather more established, screening programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think first of all, it needs to be very, very clear to everyone that colorectal cancer is actually highly preventable. Now, the two most common screening tests that we do in Singapore is either what we call a fecal occult blood test.
Mm-hmm.
And that essentially, in a nutshell, refers to the testing for the presence of blood in the stools. At the current moment, the government, or rather the Ministry of Health, is generally giving out free test kits to all Singaporeans above the age of 50. And what we do during the test kit, if it turns positive for blood, is that we in turn refer on the patient to get a colonoscopy. So that's something to be done on an annual basis, which is the fecal occult blood test. Now, in turn, there are some patients, or rather, I should say an increasing number of patients who choose to go straight for what we call a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
And a colonoscopy essentially is a camera test of the colon, whereby... Well, it is an invasive test. There's no denying that. But I think a lot of misconceptions pertain to that it's very uncomfortable, it takes very long. I think a typical colonoscopy takes about 20 to 25 minutes, and it's often done with the patient sedated, which means that he'll be very much unaware of what's going on. Now, back to the colonoscopy per se, essentially a camera test of the colon. And what we do during the camera test is that we look through the entire colon. And it has the additional advantage that, firstly, in terms of sensitivity and so-called accuracy, is certainly much higher than the fecal occult blood test. And at the same time, it allows us to take out polyps, which are the precursors eventually to cancer. And of course, by taking out polyps, we prevent that particular polyp from becoming a cancerous growth in the next 8 to 10 or 15 years. And this is essentially why I say that colorectal cancer is actually very preventable.
Right. Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Aaron Poe, Medical Director and General Surgeon, specializing in colorectal surgery at Alpine Surgical Practice. Are there things that we can do, lifestyle changes, dietary changes, to prevent colorectal cancer, perhaps if it presents itself in other family members and we want to make sure that we don't develop it ourselves?
All right. Now, so in terms of what we call typical day-to-day lifestyle factors, I think the usual culprits are still predominant. So we're talking about having higher cancer risk in smokers, mm-hmm. Higher cancer risk in people who take in large amounts of alcohol. Processed meat has been shown to be a fairly high risk factor for colorectal cancer. Now, and then, of course, in turn, obesity has also been gradually shown to be associated with colorectal cancer, in particular, obesity associated with diabetes and also coronary heart disease, whereby essentially it's a blockage of the blood vessels of the heart. Now, on saying that, there are also factors that tend to help to reduce the risk of colorectal cancer. And we're talking about things like dietary fiber, in particular fiber from grains and cereals and bran as a whole. And then, of course, along the way, research has been going on to whether is there a role for things like probiotics to help to so-called restore the normal gut flora. But I think that's something that's still being looked into at this point in time. Now, I think the key point which most people tend to ask is that what are my risk factors if I have someone in the family with colorectal cancer?
Yeah.
And I think it's certainly fair to say that the highest risk pertains if you have what we call, in medical terms, a first-degree relative, or in easier terms, is essentially your parents or your siblings who may have colorectal cancer. Now, usually in such cases, what we will suggest is that the patient himself or herself undergoes a colonoscopy 10 years before the prior case was diagnosed. Or to put it simply, if someone has a parent who had colorectal cancer at age 42, he or she himself should get a colonoscopy at age 32, which is about 10 years before the parent was diagnosed.
Right, okay. And is there a link, though, from all this testing that you do? Do you see that being a much higher occurrence within such close family members?
Yes. If I were to give just an example of a patient that I just scoped about 3 months ago, he's about 34 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a father who had colorectal cancer at age 42. And so when I did the scope for him, it turned out that he had a 7-millimeter polyp in the colon, which was removed. And looking at the size, and if I were to extrapolate it, I would say that in the next 8 to 10 years, there is a very high chance that this particular polyp that I removed would have eventually turned into cancer. And I would say that, therefore, it was quite fortunate of him that with the scope, by removing this particular polyp, then the chance of him developing cancer as a result of this has therefore dropped very much lower.
Right. Okay. Now, we started the conversation by talking about Chadwick Boseman. He was 43 years old, had already been fighting colorectal cancer for several years before that. But most of us as fans of his movies didn't even know he was sick, because he looked so vibrant. He was in all these superhero action movies and what have you, and yes. Did not in any way, shape or form look like an ill man, someone who was dealing with a serious illness. Is that possible with someone who might have already developed colorectal cancer undiagnosed? They can go about their day normally and not realize that they're sick?
Yes. I think like all cancers, in the early stages, they often are no symptoms associated with colorectal cancer. Now, if I might be a little bit bold here, mm-hmm. now, if Chadwick Boseman, if I recall correctly, he was diagnosed in 2016, mm-hmm. which by my calculations makes him somewhere about 39 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if if for whatever reason he had decided, or maybe he had planned for a colonoscopy somewhere when he was about 35, 34, we could perhaps either have found the cancer at an earlier stage, or potentially at that point in time, it might not have developed into a cancer, but rather what we call a more advanced polyp. And of course, if the polyp could have been removed in its entirety, that might have stop any further progression, and we wouldn't be talking about him passing away at 43 years of age now.
Right. So that, if anything, that is a very powerful reason to get early screening and diagnosis.
Well, that comes to a little bit a point that is very slightly more contentious. Mm-hmm. I think there's no doubt that the Ministry of Guidelines call for colorectal cancer screening to start at the age of 50.
Right.
And I think there are certainly very good population-based studies to recommend that. But of course, instead of using a general formula for all, the ministry has also very, very correctly came out with a guidelines which state that if you have, number one, either your personal, yourself, a history of polyps, particularly what we call significant polyps, which means polyps that are 1 centimeter in size, polyps which are really showing signs of early progression to cancer. That's the one factor. Or if, for example, you have a family history of colorectal cancer, particularly in what we call the first degree relatives that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then therefore, in this group, I think there is certainly a benefit to do earlier colorectal screening. And in particular, following the guidelines, as I mentioned earlier, of being about 10 years early before the previous case was diagnosed.
Right. Okay. I think that's important information. And I hope that we've given our listeners a bit more information about this illness that took perhaps one of their favorite actors away from us all too early. We've been speaking to Dr. Aaron Poe, Medical Director and General Surgeon, specializing in colorectal surgery at Alpine Surgical Practice about colorectal cancer. Doctor, thank you very much for the time.
Thanks very much, Clarissa.
I'm Clarissa Montero for Health Suites. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
You can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all. Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call.